Lord, we thank you this morning that you have given us the ability to give thanks. To give thanks in the good times and also in the tough times of life. Because whether things are good or bad for us, you are the one who never changes. And you're the one who provides all that we need to get through this life and through those difficult times to better days. So help us to hold that in our hearts, Lord, as we go out into the world and face the challenges that we have to face. That you're the God who never leaves us. You're the God who has a plan for us. A God who will always lead us through. Amen. You know, for me, Thanksgiving is a special time of year. It's a time when I can think about what God has provided throughout the last year. And it's a time when people gather together, share their stories and share their jokes over a turkey dinner with all the fixings and way too many desserts. And then for me anyway, looking for a couch to lie out on and have a nap. I'm sure that Thanksgiving means a lot of these things to many of you as well. It's a time when our hearts and minds are focused on being thankful for what we have been blessed with. But what makes Thanksgiving so special to me is the fact that I know who to be thankful to. I just couldn't imagine seeing all the blessings in my life and around me and not know that it is God who has given it all to me. But you know what? That's all too common these days. Years ago, there was an atheist by the name of Harriet Martineau, who was a famous English author. And she had a Christian friend, and one morning they stepped out for a walk on a beautiful fall morning. And as Harriet saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze and the frost in the meadow, and those brightly colored leaves making their way lazily to the ground, she was filled with the beauty and burst forth with, "You know what? I am so thankful. I'm just so grateful for it all." And her believing Christian friend said, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" I find it sad that there are so many people in the world today who don't know who to be thankful to. People, you know, perhaps they are thankful to their boss because they have a job. Maybe they're thankful to the government that provides them with some form of structure or protection in their lives. Or perhaps they're thankful to their spouses or friends for what they have. But what happens when those things change? What if that person loses their job? What if they suffer injustice? What happens if they go through problems in their relationships? Well, then there is nothing or no one left to be thankful to. And without a thankful heart, we can never truly experience happiness. I really feel blessed that I know who I can be thankful to, not just at Thanksgiving or this weekend, but all through the year. Because when I am thankful to God and thank Him for all His great blessings, then I really feel closer to Him. That's really why Thanksgiving is a special time of year for me. It reminds us to not only be thankful, but that all of our thanks should be given to the Lord. I mean, even when things aren't going well, we can be thankful because Romans 8:28 tells us, "We know all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." You know, being thankful is really a part of our true worship. Putting God first and acknowledging that all things come from Him, that is something that we need to do every day of our lives. Being thankful despite our circumstances really separates us from the world around us, from those who don't acknowledge God. Instead of letting our circumstances dictate our thankfulness and our happiness, we can be thankful at all times and in all circumstances because God is in our lives. But even with this in mind, being thankful is sometimes hard to do, especially, you know, when things don't go our way, or when circumstances in life just drag us down. So how do we have that spirit of thankfulness each and every day of our lives? How can we wake up each morning with joy in our hearts and thankfulness in our words? You know, the world has been trying to provide that answer for centuries. Companies in this day and age will try and tell you that if you have a certain product, you'll be happy. Some people think that if they win the lottery, well, I mean, that's going to bring a whole bunch of happiness, right? Or if you can retire, especially if you retire early, then wow, that's really going to bring happiness. I mean, some of those things would be nice to have, right? But true thankfulness comes from deep within ourselves, despite our circumstances. And the Bible tells us that we can have that every single day of our lives. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was a thankful man. In most of his letters to the churches, he began with the words, "I thank God." And then he would state what he was thankful for. And usually he was thankful to God for the people that he was writing the letters to. But this thankfulness wasn't something that the Apostle Paul just received miraculously from God one day. In our reading from Philippians, we hear Paul say, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." You know, from this one passage, I think we can learn a lot about thankfulness, the thankfulness that comes from a grateful and a happy spirit. First, we often think that we can only be happy when our circumstances are right, you know, when everything lines up and everyone's treating us well. We think that if things went the way we wanted them to, then, well, we'd be truly happy. But things were not going well for the Apostle Paul when he wrote these words to the church in Philippi. These words were written from a prison cell from Rome. And he wrote this letter not knowing if he would even live or die. So Paul shows us that a spirit of thankfulness and a spirit of gratitude is not determined by our circumstances, but by our attitude and our perspective on life. The truth is, perspective can make a big difference in how we see the situations in our life. There was a young woman once who sent a letter to her mother from college, and she wrote these words, "Dear Mom, I'm sorry that I haven't written sooner. My arm's been broken, and my leg too. It happened when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had to flee from the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were here in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service attendant, came to see me every single day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I just moved in with him. He's been so nice. In fact, Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as you can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I'll write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie." But then she wrote, "P.S., Mom, none of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in the proper perspective." It's true, though, isn't it? Hopefully none of us will receive a letter or a phone call like that one. But you know, that really illustrates that perspective is crucial when it comes to having a thankful spirit. It doesn't take much to see others who are worse off than we are. All we have to do is turn on the TV, drive downtown, and seeing what is happening around the world. You know, with all the wars in the Middle East and other parts of the world, and where people are targeted and killed only because of their religion or nationality. We can see that we can be thankful that we live in a nation where there is, for the most part, peace and security. Many times when I think about those, though, who are suffering around the world, I sometimes get a sense of guilt because compared to them, I have it so good. It reminds me that I have nothing to complain or grumble about at all. In fact, I really believe that to complain and grumble in the light of what is going on in the world, that must really offend God. Perhaps that's why the Apostle Paul stressed that we should all have a proper perspective and choose to be thankful for all that we have and to thank God for helping us out in the difficulties of life. Sometimes, though, we get caught up grumbling and complaining when we compare our lives to other people who we think are, you know, they're better off than we are. But that is only a recipe for disaster, because we can only see the outside, and we don't know what problems they are facing on the inside. Dr. Dale Robbins once wrote, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize through all my counseling sessions that they have problems because they complain. Complaining has never made anything better. And what does it change? Absolutely nothing. In fact, it probably makes our situation worse and can make our lives truly miserable. It's scriptural. Psalm 77:3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And Numbers 11:1 says, complaining just displeases the Lord. As you know, it was complaining that caused most of the problems for the Israelites when they were out in the wilderness. You know, God could deal with their enemies. He could provide them with food and water and everything they needed. But he didn't have the patience when it came to their grumbling and complaining. It's no wonder the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13 to do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, when we start thanksgiving to God, when we start thanking him and not grumble, we will shine like those stars to the world around us. Because complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. And being content with what God has given us is really the only way to be thankful. Paul tells us in this passage that he has learned to be content in all types of circumstances. We all know that life has its ups and life has its downs. There are those really good times, and then there are the times which are not really good, and we don't know if we're going to get through them. But Paul tells us that we can be content when we have little or whether we have lots. And Paul knew this personally. Paul knew what it was like to have both. He was a Jew who was educated in Greek culture. He was only one of a handful of Jewish people who were born as a Roman citizen. And he came from Tarsus, which was a prosperous and renowned center of education and philosophy. His citizenship would have been bought by his father, which would have cost a lot of money, so he came from power and influence. And we also know that he was educated by one of the leading teachers of his day when he moved to Jerusalem. But that's not the way Paul's life was going to stay. There was going to be times of lack, times of hardship, times of need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul mentions some of these times. He said that he had been imprisoned many times. He'd been flogged severely. He'd been exposed to death time and time again. In fact, 5 times he received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods, and once he was pelted with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked and spent a night and a day out in the open sea. He was constantly on the move. He was in danger from rivers, from bandits, from fellow Jews, and from Gentiles. He was in danger in the city, in the country, at sea, and in danger from false believers. He labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. He knew thirst and often went without food. And there were times when he was cold and even stripped naked. Wow. And if this wasn't enough, he adds, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Wow, that's a hard life. That's a tough life. Something to really complain about, right? I mean, if that was happening to us, we could write lists of what to complain about. But how did Paul view these hardships? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. He describes hardships like these as just light and momentary troubles. So what was Paul's secret to being content? Well, Paul learned and put into practice the principle that God should be thanked no matter what our circumstances are. In our passage in Philippians, he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And earlier in his letter to the Philippians, he says, we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, Paul reminds us that though we may think we are at the end of our rope, Because of Jesus, we are never, ever at the end of our hope. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what they are, God never abandons us. Paul knew that, whatever happens to us in this life, we have the assurance of eternal life, the time when all suffering will end and sorrow will flee away. It was with eternity in mind that Paul could be content and thankful in all situations. His attitude was not controlled by his circumstances. His attitude was controlled by the promises of God. I remember when I was a child, that's many years ago now, maybe Mom and Dad can remember, I used to, maybe once in a while, once a year or so, I'd maybe complain about something. And Mom would always tell me, I know the minister's not supposed to tell lies, right? Mom would always tell me to count my blessings. I didn't always like that because I wanted to hear my concerns, I wanted them to be heard. But I tried that sometimes, to count my blessings. You know, I always found that there was so much more to be thankful for than to be miserable about. The story I read once that illustrates that there are hidden blessings in our lives, no matter where we are in life. As I said before, it's really all a matter of perspective. The story is about a father who was very wealthy, who wanted to show his son how rich they were by bringing him into the country to show him how poor people lived. So they spent a couple of days and nights on a farm of what would be considered a very poor family. And on their return from their trip, the father asked his son, "So how was the trip?" "It was great, Dad. Did you see how poor these people live?" the father asked. "Oh yes," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn?" asked the father. The son answered, I saw that we have one dog. They have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, but they have a river that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars in the sky. Our patio reaches to the front yard. They have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve each other. We buy our food. They grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us, but they have friends to protect them." The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." Isn't perspective a wonderful thing? Makes you wonder what would happen if we all gave thanks for everything that we have, instead of worrying about the things that we don't have. You know, I've seen this perspective in the lives of those I've worked with overseas, and some here know what I'm talking about. Despite their circumstances and poverty, some of the most thankful and happy people that I have ever met are those who have absolutely nothing compared to us, even the assurance of knowing that they would live another day. Finally, we can be thankful, because in verse 13 of our passage, Paul says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." There's one of those all words again. Despite our circumstances, we can be thankful. It's easier to be thankful when we see all of God's blessings around us, but it is harder when life is hard. However, just knowing that we have the strength of Jesus in our lives helps us to carry on and to be thankful to him. In a dialect of one of the Indian languages, there is no word for thank you. Instead, when they are grateful to others for what they have done, they say, "I will tell of your name." I believe that when we are truly thankful to God for what he has done for us, we will also want to tell of his name, to tell others of his great blessings. And this is not just reserved for one weekend of the year, but should be a part of who we are and what we do all throughout the year. Why? Because there is always reason to give thanks.